Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast.
At Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to some basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting a little banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success, so you know something I can really do this.
Welcome back to the Unconquered Podcast, everybody. This is your host, Jason Staples. As always, this podcast is brought to you by Louis Marquez of Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville, Florida. If you have any real estate needs in Jacksonville, the greater Jacksonville area, let Louis know. He's going to be your best option there. Let him know that you heard about him from the podcast. If you know anybody else who has any real estate needs, send him Louis way. Tell him to tell him that you found out about the about him through the podcast, and definitely would will help us all out quite a bit. Support your fellow Seminoles and this podcast quite a bit. So here we are, the game that we all were looking forward to in the off season. This, along with the Alabama game that's going to determine the ACC Atlantic Division. Between two top five teams in the country, Clemson and Florida State, teams that, you know, the winner of this game goes on to the college football playoff, and, you know, a lot to play for here. These two teams, obviously, at the very top of the ACC, and, what's that? Wait, Florida State's what? They're 3-5? Yeah, that, what a difference between now and what we expected to be saying at the beginning of this podcast, at the beginning of the year. Wow. Clemson has held up their end of the bargain. Clemson, number 4 in the college football playoff rankings. If they win this game, they're most likely going to the college football playoff. So yeah, the winner of this game probably does go to the college football playoff. But man, Florida State, as we all know, has laid that egg on the year and has really disappointed. 17-point underdog in this game. Not given a whole lot of chance to win it. But here's the thing. Florida State really does have a decent chance to win this game. There's a lot of things that Florida State does and a lot of ways that these two teams are built where, all things being equal, if Florida State was coming in with a different kind of momentum and a little bit different injury situation on offense, this game should be a push. And in a lot of ways, Florida State matchup-wise matches up really, really well, or should match up really well with what Clemson does. Some of the listeners may know that, you know, I was at Clemson for the spring coaching clinic this last year. So I was there to watch practice, to spend time with their coaching staff, get a chance to really pick their brains and take some of that stuff back to what I do as a coach. And, you know, I tell you what, I'm really impressed by that Clemson coaching staff. I will say this, and I've said this before on this podcast, the wide receiver practice that I spent most of the time obviously watching the passing game stuff, the way that they coach their wide receivers, probably the best coached wide receiver practice I've ever seen. Jeff Scott does a tremendous job with those wide receivers, really demanding such tremendous attention to detail, and really focusing on getting those guys to do a lot, and they ask a lot from their wide receivers. Now, the other thing is Dabo Swinney. Swinney spends a lot of time with those wide receivers as well. I mean, in the same way that Nick Saban is a defensive backs guy and he's going to give extra attention to defensive backs at Alabama, Jimbo Fisher is a quarterbacks guy. The quarterback is always going to have extra attention from Jimbo Fisher in Florida State practices. Dabo Swinney is a wide receivers guy, and that's always going to be a place where they're going to be excellent. And I was so impressed by how they did things, particularly at that position, and you know, tried to have definitely pulled borrowed a good bit of stuff from them this year in coaching that position myself. Yeah, so tremendously well-coached team. Venables with the linebackers and the defensive coordinator, obviously one of the best coaches in the country. I really like, again, I liked how they coached their cornerbacks, how Mike Reed had those guys in boxing gloves and one-on-ones and some of the innovative stuff that they were doing. I really liked what they did in practice. So can't say enough about that Clemson staff and how they've handled things over the course of this this run. And there's a big reason why they've been so successful. They've done a great job developing the guys that they've gotten on campus. They've gotten those guys to buy in, and the attention to detail is tremendous. But again, they ask a lot of those wide receivers. Those wide receivers have a lot of route adjustments that they have to handle. They've got to read the defense. They've got there's a lot of mental stuff and a lot of little details that you have to do to play wide receiver at Clemson and play it well. And they do a great job coaching it and getting those kids to buy in and do it. So yeah, really a model in that respect. Have to tip my cap as much as possible to how that Clemson staff does that. That said, I did notice when I was watching that practice that they are not, this Clemson team is not quite what they were last year. And I think we've seen that on the field this year. They've been much more vulnerable in a lot of respects than they were last year. And they're not as deep as a team like Florida State in terms of talent. They still are really a peg below Florida State talent-wise across the roster. And I know some of my listeners are going to go, what? They're the most talented team in the ACC. They've been out recruiting Florida State. It's really not true. Florida State's the more talented team in this game across the board. Believe it or not, it's true. But Clemson has really done a great job. That staff has done a great job of getting those guys to play as a unit. And they've got some special players. They've got a few guys who are at the very top of among the very best in the country at their specific positions. They're just not as deep across the board as Florida State with some of that talented depth that Florida State has. But in the end, it's really the difference makers that win these kind of games. And Clemson has a good number of those. And that's where the very top shelf talent, particularly the experienced top shelf talent that Clemson has, is better than the very top shelf talent that Florida State has at a lot of those positions. So, you know, Florida State doesn't have a Christian Wilkins. Florida State doesn't have a Dexter Lawrence, at least not a sophomore Dexter Lawrence. On the roster. They don't have those guys. As many good players as Florida State has on the defensive line, those two would be the best. Each of those guys would be the best defensive lineman on the Florida State team. Both of those guys are top 10 NFL draft picks. And then, you know, Cleland Farrell and Austin Bryant, both outstanding defensive end prospects for the NFL as well. Their whole defensive line, their whole starting defensive line is outstanding. And you could make a case that all four of their starting defensive linemen would start at Florida State. But none of their backups would be a backup at Florida State. None of their backups would be in the three deep at Florida State. So FSU has the deeper and more impressive overall team, but some of the frontline talent, Dorian O'Daniel would be the best linebacker at either place, either school. Now, there are some places where Florida State has advantages. Derwin James is the best back seven player on either team. Actually, he would be the best linebacker on either team ahead of O'Daniel as well, but he plays safety. You know, you can make the case for a few of Florida State's defensive backs over anybody that Clemson's going to have on the field this week, at least. They've had some injuries. And then you go down the list on Clemson's offense, and aside from wide receiver Deion Cain, who I think is a borderline first rounder. I really liked him in practice. Very, very impressive up close. Aside from him, you can make a case that Florida State's skill talent is overall better than Clemson's. Not as experienced in some areas. But Clemson's offensive line is very good. And very well coached, I should add. So it's an interesting matchup. Because all things being equal, if I were looking at, if Florida State was 5-2 or whatever. Let's see, they're 3-5, so it'd be 6-2 coming into this game, say. If Florida State was 6-2 coming into this game and came in with some momentum, and I felt like this team was gelling and was trusting the coaching staff, and we've talked about this before, even if the coaching staff is not elite, if players buy into what the coaching staff is doing, then it's good enough. But, you know, if I were convinced that that the players at this point were buying into what they were being asked to do by the coaching staff and were really selling out to do their jobs and all that, I'd probably favor Florida State in this game. Even with the quarterback situation, even with Kelly Bryant as a junior up against a true freshman, Blackman, probably favor Florida State. But given the momentum, given how things have changed and given how it's been pulling teeth just to get guys to do their jobs, and the wheels have really come off, yeah, the 17-point spread makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. But anyway, let's get to analyzing some of what we can in terms of what to expect in this game. Let's go ahead and start with Florida State's offense or Florida State's defense versus the Clemson offense. First things first, Kelly Bryant is. Florida State's seen a quarterback a lot like Kelly Bryant already this year, and that's Jalen Hurts. But Jalen Hurts is actually better than Kelly Bryant. Kelly Bryant is a good quarterback. He's been very solid. He's managed this team very well. He's their leading rusher, and boy, is he is underrated. I mean, as much as people talk about him as a runner, he's underrated as a runner. He's legit fast. Now, he's had an ankle injury on the year a couple times, so he's not as fast as he was early in the year. But when he's healthy, he's a maybe sub 4.5 guy. I mean, he can fly. And he's doing that at about 225, 230. He's a big man. So, you know, that brings a nice dimension to their offense. That when you've got a guy that's limited as a passer, and he definitely is that, you can run him. You can do that stuff. You know, Florida State's done the same thing. Jimbo Fisher has always really catered and shaped his offense around what his quarterback can do. And, you know, when he had E.J. Manuel as a sophomore, and E.J. couldn't really throw the football at that point worth much, he ran E.J. a ton. You know, he ran Christian Ponder before Christian really developed as a passer a ton. And that's what Clemson's doing with Kelly Bryant right now. Is they're using his legs, and this is something that the Clemson coaching staff said they would do. And you know, when I visited with them, they said, "Listen, we don't have a Deshaun Watson. So you know, last year we had to really be careful how much we ran Deshaun, because you know we couldn't afford to get him hurt. He was the franchise. So we only ran him in certain games and in certain situations because we couldn't afford to get him hurt." Because if he went down, we didn't have anybody we trusted. Because, you know, Bryant was only a sophomore at that point, that he wasn't developed. Zarek Cooper was a true freshman. They didn't really have anybody behind Watson, and the drop-off was massive. So they couldn't run him last year. Not that much. They ran him finally in a couple of the really big games where they knew they had to. But they said this year, We're gonna run the quarterback. We're gonna run the quarterback, and we're gonna run the quarterback, because if one goes down, if Kelly goes down, they've got two kids behind him that, you know, they're not a huge drop off. Although actually, when Zarek Cooper has come in, he looked a lot better in practice than he has in the couple game appearances that he's had. And yeah, there is a drop off in terms of experience and all that, but they basically figured, listen, if Bryant goes down, we can come in with another quarterback that we can continue to run, and we can continue to build around that and so on. And now actually when Bryant did go down against Syracuse, they lost. So it's worth noting that even at Clemson, with their approach, doing that, which is the smart approach this year, every offense in college football is still so quarterback dependent. Your quarterback goes down and very few teams are going to survive that. And, you know, again, Florida State being one example of that. But, you know, Florida State's played, seven games without their quarterback. Clemson played about three quarters of a game without their quarterback and lost. Florida State's played seven games without their quarterback and lost five. So So yeah, that is worth noting. But that Clemson offense is actually a pretty good, the Florida State defense, I should say, is a pretty good matchup against that Clemson offense. I think that Clemson offense is going to struggle against Florida State's defense. Now, last year, fourth quarter, Clemson had wide receivers running wide open on at least six plays. So I'm sure there will be a moment in this game where somebody's going to pop wide open. There's going to be a free runner, just like what happened against Syracuse, and Florida State fans everywhere are going to have to do their best not to have to replace their television screen or whatever after throwing something. But I expect, you know, one probably big play, maybe to Deion Kane or Ray McLeod, where you're going to get a big play where a guy's going to get free, just because you have to factor in on at least one coverage bust from Florida State. But aside from that, I think this Florida State defense, in terms of what they can put up front with that defensive line, that set of linebackers, and so on, can do to Clemson a lot of what they did to Alabama. Really, the game plan that you need to bring in against Clemson and against Clemson's offense at this point is more or less exactly what they did in the opener against Alabama. Just dust off that same game plan, using Derwin as the Swiss Army knife and getting him to shadow Kelly Bryant and come off the edge in certain key places and really force Bryant to make big throws downfield. So yeah, I mean, that's what they need to do. They can do that. Alabama's offense is better than this Clemson offense. And they shut down that Alabama offense. If that defense shows up, if the same defense shows up that played against Alabama, this ballgame is going to be a game deep into the fourth quarter. But will that defense show up? Anybody's guess. Will guys do their jobs? Anybody's guess. But, you know, this Florida State defense can match up player for player across the board with Clemson's offense. And, you know, Kelly Bryant is not a guy that you can really trust to make big throws downfield. He can make some vertical throws. He'll throw the jump ball and some back shoulder fades, and that's really what you have to worry about, is their wide receivers winning some of those matchups. But if you force him to throw those tight window throws, if you force him to do the same stuff that you forced Jalen Hurts to make, and he wasn't able to make them, and also Hurts didn't have a whole lot of time, you can get after Kelly Bryant. You need to get aggressive with what they do. I think that's something that it'll be interesting to see how aggressive they get. I think this is a game where you've got to stack the line. Even though Clemson likes to spread you, I think you have to stack it a little bit and really attack Clemson's offense to be successful. You have to. You have to stack the box and force Kelly Bryant to beat you downfield with his arm. Just like what you did against Alabama and Jalen Hurts. And the other thing that's interesting is that the Clemson coaching staff mentioned in meetings in the clinic that all the movement that Florida State does, all the games Florida State plays up front defensively. They said, yeah, you know, we do this and this in the running game. We run our quarterback this way. Here's, you know. As we were talking through the quarterback running game and somehow they do it, they said, now we have a harder time. This is something that, you know, we can't do as easily against a team like Florida State, for example, because of all the games they play up front, because of how much they move, how much they, you know, how much they twist and game and do all that stuff. That makes it harder. So we're limited in what we can do, more limited in what we can do with the quarterback there. Thought that was interesting. And that's the stuff that you've got to continue doing. You've got to continue to twist, to take away some of those RPOs and the quarterback runs that they're going to try to throw in there, that, you know, it muddies some of the reads that they're trying to make. And Florida State absolutely has the personnel to make it to keep this a low scoring game. Again, the question is, are they really going to show up and do that? And then the other question is, can Florida State's offense score enough points or move the ball enough to keep the defense involved, to keep the defense believing that if they ball out, if they play the way that within the scheme and play the way that they're supposed to, that they can win the game. If Clemson goes up 14 points in the first quarter, this game's going to be over. Because I don't think this team believes in themselves or anybody, you know, around the program at this point enough to take that punch, to take that adversity, and then roll back and still believe that they're going to win the game. There's just, and that's the thing. Again, I've talked a lot about momentum and program momentum, game to game momentum, sort of institutional memory, if you will, and how perception really affects things for a program. And this is one of those things that what you got to remember is basically one of the most powerful forces in sports is the here we go again mentality. The here we go again response. And what you're always trying to do as a coaching staff, what practice is all about, is harnessing the power of here we go again in a positive direction. So you rep things and you do things enough times that a player, when he's asked to do something, goes, okay, here we go again. I can do this. I've done this before. You're the guy who's made clutch putts to win major tournaments before, and now you've got to make a clutch putt to win a major tournament or stay in contention now, and you go, done it before, been there, done that, here we go again, I got this. And you're much more likely to make that putt because you've done it before. And that's a powerful force for a program, for a player, for a team. But it's equally powerful in the opposite direction. When all of a sudden something goes bad and the response is, oh, here we go again. I'm going to lose again. So what happens is, you know, you say you get a field goal blocked at the last second and it gets returned for a fluke loss. Here we go again. Doesn't happen after the first one. But after, say, a second kind of fluky loss on the margins. Now when you're on the margins, you're starting to think like, wait, have we seen this movie before? Here we go again. And after two or three, now you're losing the here we go again on the positive side, and you are potentially at risk on the negative side. And then once it happens a few more times, now this Florida State team is totally on the wrong side of here we go again. After the Miami game, you could see it. These guys, once they started getting behind in a game, once one or two things started going wrong, you could see them like tossing their hands in the air. You could see that especially against Boston College. A couple of the pass interference penalties, if you looked at the defensive backs, you could see them tossing their hands up and tossing their heads back going, come on, man, really? Here we go again. And that's been the problem more than anything. Because then once that starts happening, you're checked out. You're no longer buying into the stuff that you think is going to work, because as soon as something goes wrong, it's not going to work again. Great. You're asking me to do this, but it didn't work the last time, even if it was the right thing. And that's why, you know, process is so, you have to focus on process, but it's so important again to start getting some results for that, to keep buying into the process. Otherwise, you start paying attention to those outcomes and you start going, here we go again. And then you start questioning what you're doing, and then the process falls apart. And now you're having to rebuild from the ashes, from the embers. So Florida State's offense is going to have to do enough to keep that defense from going, here we go again. We're going to lose again just because we can't score, or because, you know, X, Y, and Z, you know, we got that bad break again. So if the offense can keep in it long enough, this defense could win this game against this Clemson offense, which is vulnerable. Now, flipping over to the defensive side, Clemson's got the best defensive line in the country, at least starting defensive line. Now, if you go to the two deep, Florida State's defensive line through the two deep is better. So if you want to get into a slugfest game where both teams are getting gassed at the end, Florida State's got the better group. When it comes to that second unit, when you're starting to have to shuffle other guys in, Florida State's got the better overall group. And Dexter Lawrence is not totally healthy. Dexter Lawrence was out a good bit last week against NC State because he ain't healthy. So, yeah, that's a factor. But this group is a monster group in terms of pass rush. They're much better pass rushing defensive line than Alabama was. much more comparable, say, to the NC State defensive line with Bradley Chubb and that group and Kentavious Street. You know, that group is closer to what you've got in terms of Clemson as a pass rushing unit. But you've absolutely got to avoid getting behind the chains against this group. Now, you can run the football against them. They are as good a pass rushing defensive line. They're the best pass rushing defensive line, particularly the starting unit, the best pass rushing defensive line in the country. But in terms of rush defense, they've got some vulnerabilities. I mean, North Carolina State averaged 4.5 yards per carry last week, ran for 153 yards on them. So if there's a game that you want to come out and pound the football, it's this one. You can pound Clemson a little bit. I saw it. Clemson's offense did it to their defense some in practice. And usually, you know, you guys hear me talk about how you need to throw on first down with a young quarterback and against a top quality defensive line to avoid forcing him to throw when you're behind the chains. This is actually the week where I think you can run it a little bit more on first down against that unit. And this is a good game for Jaquez Patrick to return because, again, the big back is actually, I think, a potential weapon in this game. Something that you want to get some carries to a bigger back against this defensive unit. And I think that's really what approach you have to take against this Clemson team. You want to push the issue and really run the football against this team. Now I say that at the same time that I say that I need to bring up that their secondary is banged up enough that Ray McLeod, their wide receiver, is also playing cornerback quite a bit for them right now because they're down enough players in the secondary. They're limited in terms of personnel there. So they've got some vulnerabilities on this defense. As good as it is, they've got some vulnerabilities. Now the thing you want to avoid is throwing intermediate over the middle a whole lot because Dorian O'Daniel, that linebacker, will make you pay. He covers like a safety. He's a big play guy. And he just has a knack for finding the football. They do a really good job of setting him up in coverage to hide and make some plays. But I think, again, the strategy in this one has to be to break some tendencies. That's something Jimbo Fisher has done really, really well in the past against Brent Venables. Fisher seems to have a real feel for Venables as a coordinator and does a good job of breaking tendency. Venables is a savant in terms of understanding tendencies, digesting numbers, and knowing what a coordinator is going to call. I mean, he's one of those guys. He's a poker player who knows all the odds of every card that could be in his opposing player's hand. And Fisher understands this and does a good job of going outside his own tendencies when Florida State plays Clemson and Venables. And, you know, last year, a lot of people expected Clemson to blow out that Florida State team. Florida State should have won the game. And it was in large part because Fisher won that matchup against the Clemson defense and against Venables, who is, again, one of the best defensive coordinators in the country. But sometimes guys just understand how to attack other guys, and Venables' defense is one that Jimbo's had success against in the past. And that's despite, oddly, Clemson has, over the years, faced a lot of Florida State's backup quarterbacks in some weird injury situations over the years, and Fisher still had good success. But, you know, this Florida State team is limping in with, you know, a worse situation on offense than they've had any time since 2011. That 2011 team that they took into Clemson is probably worse off, starting, you know, a freshman Clint Trickett on the road in Death Valley, with an offensive line that was just a mash unit already at that point in the year. That was probably worse overall than this year's situation. But they still managed to put up points. So that's one of those things that's also interesting. Florida State's always been able to put up points under Fisher on Venables' defense, or more points than expected on Venables' defense. You know, with Sean McGuire and Clint Trickett and others at quarterback, he's been able to do that. So the thing that'll be interesting is how he decides to break some tendencies in this game. What has he kept under wraps? Because they've been so simple on offense ever since Blackman took over. There's not been a whole lot that they could do, but I'm sure that there's some wrinkles that they've worked this week that I'm curious to see what they'll do to break tendency. and be able to try to make some plays. But I think in this game, what they've got to do is they've got to try to pound that defense, which is much better rushing the passer than stopping the run. Pound that defense and then set up some waggles, some bootlegs, and some deep downfield throws against Clemson's secondary that can take advantage of some of the injury situation there. And I would generally avoid Trayvon Mullen's side of the field unless Auden Tate is playing and he happens to be the guy matching up there. Try to go at everybody else. But basically, I expect that to be the plan. We'll see some of the counter stuff. We'll see some of the power stuff that Florida State's done. You know, they've done more gap blocking in recent years than previously. But I think they're gonna run the football a ton. They'll pound it and then try to set up some of those shot plays. I think one of the keys to this game is if Auden Tate plays, Florida State has a real chance to win this game. If he plays and is healthy, Florida State may well win this game. If Tate is unable to go, then I think Clemson wins the game and probably wins by more than a touchdown. So I think that's as big a factor as anything, because that guy changes Florida State's offense. He's one of those difference makers I was talking about earlier on the Florida State side, where Clemson has the Dexter Lawrence and Christian Wilkins type guy. Auden Tate is that kind of presence for the Florida State offense. But again, I think there's plays to be made against this Clemson defense, particularly in the running game and particularly in some play action stuff downfield. The other thing that you need to be willing to do against this Clemson defense is you have to be willing to throw some back shoulder fades and some vertical 50-50 balls to let your big wide receivers go up and get it. Now that Keith Gavin's back out there, you do it to him. If Auden Tate's out there, you do it some to him. You can even do it to Nyquan Murray, who's surprisingly good at that, given his size. So those, to me, are the three things that you look for on offense: is pound the football, play action down the field when you're going to take your shots, and you do that on first or second down, conservative on third down, and run the football on third down so they can't get after you in terms of rushing the passer. You've got to stay committed to that running game on third down. And then take your 50-50 balls. That, if you're going to throw on third down, take your 50-50 balls on some of those back shoulder fades and verticals like that when possible. And again, I've in the past critiqued Jimbo for not using that back shoulder fade concept or some of those verticals enough in the past. And I still think that they could probably do a little bit more of that now that Gavin's back in particular. And if Tate's out there, they could do a little bit more of that to help Blackman, as that's a throw that any quarterback at this level can make. The third phase of the game is one that actually, I think in this game, favors Florida State. Kicker Greg Hugel, Greg Hugel from Clemson. He tore his knee up earlier in the year, and they've not been very good kicking ever since. And their kicking game is weaker than Florida State's. If there's something that could really change this game, it would be on the special team side, because special teams favor Florida State. I think surprisingly, perhaps, because Florida State special teams haven't been great. But Clemson has Travis Etienne at returning kicks, who's a threat. But FSU's done a pretty good job of putting those kicks in the end zone, and I think that's less of a concern than what Clemson's going to be dealing with in terms of the kicking game. So that's another thing that could turn this game in Florida State's favor. So all that said, I think this game is going to be a good bit closer than spread. Now, the question is, will Florida State be able to keep it to actually win this game? Probably not. I would bet on Clemson straight up. But I think this is a one-score game in the fourth quarter. I think this is one of those games that Florida State actually starts to look a little bit like the team that they were expected to be, and Clemson gets exposed a little bit on some of the areas where they're a little bit weaker. But I think Clemson, you should if you're going to bet straight up, the smart money is on Clemson, because they're much more together as a team, and they, it's a home game. They've got an experienced quarterback. If there's a mistake that's likely to be made in this game in terms of a game-altering mistake, it's likely to be made by the younger and more banged up and limited offense. And I think ultimately Clemson has more ways to get what they need on offense than what Florida State does, given the limited nature of what they're able to run out there and how simple they have to keep things. So that said, I think this is going to be a very competitive game and probably a fairly entertaining game for those who remain who are actually interested in watching it. I think Florida State has about a 40% chance of winning this. I'll say Clemson, in terms of score area, I would say probably something like Clemson 20, Florida State, Clemson 23, Florida State 20 would probably be realistic. Maybe even a little higher scoring than that. I wouldn't be surprised if it wound up a little higher scoring than people expect, just because of some of the other factors in terms of how Fisher has had success against Clemson. So, you know, maybe I'll revise that up. Let's think. How about Clemson? I'm going to stick with it. Clemson 23, Florida State 20. I think Florida State has, like I said, about a 40% chance of winning this game. I'd give Clemson the 60% edge on that, and we'll roll with that. Well, that's going to do it for this preview. I'll be back this weekend with some analysis of what happened, and we'll go from there. But that'll do it for us. Once again, this podcast is brought to you by Luis Marquez of Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville, Florida. Let him know that you heard about him from this podcast. List your properties with him. Get him sold as soon as possible. Actually, he just was using his photography skills for another agent on hire for another agent that he works with. Those photography skills parlayed. Once the listing went up online, within a day, they had six requests for showings and three offers that hadn't even walked through, including an offer above the asking price. That's what you get when you list with Lewis. So list with him, get the best possible price for your property in record time. Once again, this has been the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Thanks for listening. Talk to you again after the Clemson Florida State. I made this.